Well, Jimmy, this is it at last. There's enough money to start building the Richard Bentley Theater. Donations now amount to something like £20,000.
Oh. How about that?
Well, I don't suppose you'd care for a game of poker, would you?
No, not with you.
I didn't think you would somehow. Look, Bentley, now that you've got all this money, are you quite sure that you want to build your own theater? I mean, would it be wiser to invest in something safer?
Such as?
Well, there are several sound investments that I could suggest. For instance, the Edwards Farm Produce Company Limited, known popularly as Jim's Dairy. Or there's Jim's Pinkerton's Moustache Grower. Or if you wait a couple of years, there'll be Jim's Betting Shop.
No, Jimmy, no, my mind is made up. Besides, I've already decided on the architect and builder.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, I've asked him along to meet you.
That's a funny thing.
Yes, it's a coincidence. This way, sir.
Good evening.
Jim, this is Mr. Jerry.
That's me. Our slogan is, you can depend on it if it's Jerry built.
Yes. And this is Mr. Jimmy Edwards.
How do you do? Pleased to meet you.
I'm not Jerry built.
Wait a minute. That's a nasty bit of fungus you got there, isn't it?
Bentley, where on earth did you find this merchant?
Well, I was quite impressed by their construction work. After all, Jimmy, this firm was responsible for Tower Bridge.
Well, that's no recommendation. The building's got a split right down the middle. What else have you built, Mr. Jerry?
Well, now there's the Taj Mahal.
The Taj Mahal? What, in India?
No. Taj Mahal Coffee Bar, Peckham High Street. But here's a few more examples of our work. Just bunch of these snapshots here, see?
Oh, good heavens, what a monstrosity.
Oh, sorry, that's the wife. Look, have a look at these two. Before and after.
My word, Jimmy, this is most impressive. Look, a heap of rubble and a gleaming white block of oxygen.
Yes, Bentley, but it's the heap of rubble that's marked after.
Yes, well, now that's not our fault, really. That's just one of the many little factors we builders have to contend with. Inferior glue.
You're stuck with it, eh? Well, now, what about the Richard Bentley Theatre?
No doubt you'd like to see the architect drawn plans, eh? I've got them somewhere here, scribbled on the back of an envelope. Oh, there we are. I've got about three different styles to choose from. Well, this, of course, is a very special architectural design.
Ah, yes, Baroque.
You will be when you're paid for it. That one comes out at £100,000. So there's a nice mock Gothic for £50,000.
Yeah, look, Mr. Singh. What sort of theatre could you do for £20,000?
Oh. Well, how about a nice stage and a few deck chairs?
Bentley, if I were you, I should get another builder altogether.
Just a minute. Don't let me hate you about this. I'll tell you what I do. A very compact little contemporary theatre. Nothing not synthetic. It's mine for £30,000.
Well, that's more like it. Now you can accept that, Bentley.
Give me. I've only got £20,000. Where can I possibly get another £10,000?
I just thought of something.
Yes, Bentley.
Mr. Jerry.
Aye.
Would you care for a game of poker?
Sideways with the People.
The Sunday Type, the paper that starts where other Sundays leave off.
We publish on Monday.
Yes, the Sunday Times, as always, last with the news. This week's front page story.
Blizzard hits North.
At the council meeting in Jersey yesterday, Alderman John Blizzard punched Alderman Henry North in the council chamber.
Full of interesting features, such as fishing nets by dry fly.
Pike, a clever fish. But are to be had if you know how. Pick a quiet stretch of river, and get there around 5 a.m., find a good spot in the rushes and wait. If it's raining, so much the better. But a good mist will serve to hide your movement. Now, with luck and patience, you should catch your pike and probably double pneumonia as well.
Notes for Women by Heather Scott Tapley.
Hello. A person has spread from Greenland to London Swanky Mayfair. Debutantes and their escorts are rubbing noses. More fun than kissing. Cecilia Conkey Masters. She was a wallflower until this craze started. Now, thanks to her outsized nose, Celia has been voted Deb of the Year.
And so to our main feature, At Last It Can Be Told, the story of Britain's top wartime scientist, A Backroom Boy Remembers. I was a boffin for Britain.
Thank you. My name is Colin Muir. In September 1939, I was reading at Cambridge when I heard the War Office wanted me to join a new secret research unit, F6. It meant giving up everything, and I was doubtful, but then I received my income tax demand, and that helped my decision. Giving my landlady a forwarding address in Scotland, I headed south for Whitehall.
Oh, who goes there?
Fred.
Oh, that's a relief. With all these generals knocking about, you can't be too sure.
I'm looking for F6.
What? Oh. Don't mention F6. It's top secret. I've been waiting for you. You must be Muir. And Major Broomskill. We're to work together. Come on. I'll show you around the war office.
Oh, thanks. This is all strange to me. A Cambridge don drawn away from my writing to help win the war.
Oh, come on, then. I'll put you in the pickup.
Oh, thank you.
Now, just have a peek in here. It's the CIDS here.
Dear diary, it's been another worrying day.
Who was that?
Lord Allenbrook. here we are, F6.
Hello.
This is the new chap, Muir. Muir, this is Phyllis, our tame ATS girl. Does the secretarial work, shorthand type.
Well, I must say it's nice to have a civilian about the place. I've become allergic to coffee. If you want anything, ask me.
Thank you. I suppose they're expected to do a lot of inventing here.
Oh, yes, and they're also responsible for testing all the crackpot inventions that other people think up. Ah, and the ideas they get. Oh, mad, impossible things. Self-propelled boots. Death rays and non-iron shirts. Hello, Broomskill here. Hello, sir. Oh, are you, sir? Yes, sir, come in straight away.
What's that? Trouble?
It's the chief, Professor Grady. He's been experimenting with camouflage paint.
He sounded quite excited. The paint must have been effective.
Yes, it must be. He can't find a way out. Poor old Grady, locked in the laboratory. I'd better go and rescue him.
Nice chap, that Broomskill.
Yes, he's all right.
Is he your,
Well, we're just two people, thrown together by the wall. Carrying on. We keep going. It's convenient.
Oh, I see. You're married.
No, no.
Oh, good. Oh, then perhaps tonight you and I, dinner, a bottle of wine.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got a date. Colonel of Marines.
Tomorrow, then?
No, Lieutenant Commander, RNVR.
Friday.
An Air Commodore. Is it part of my job? I liaise with the other services.
Yes. Well, it's the first time I've heard it called that. I shall have to learn all this, Joggum.
Well, I got the brother out. He popped off to see the PM this afternoon. I say, good gracious me. It's 12:30. Pass me that dispatch box, will you? The one marked guided missile, top secret. Oh, glass sandwiches again. Be careful, man.
Thank you. What's in them?
No one knows. It's top secret, you know.
As the months passed, I became familiar with the routine of Section F6, the jargon of the War Office, and finally, with Phyllis. On our rare days off, we drive out into the country and picnic.
Have another top secret?
No, thanks. I'm full. Look, let's forget the war.
All right. Oh, it's so peaceful here. And yet, there's a war to be won. Sometimes I'm frightened.
Don't be. Lying here, I know they can't win.
No, not while you're here. It's when you start inventing things I get frightened.
I've been taken off bazookas. They're giving me psychology.
Oh, I'm sure it'll do you good.
Yeah. Psychological warfare. It's my new job to try and worry them into submission. Oh, don't just think of work. Not here. It's so utterly, utterly tranquil.
Oh, Colin, does this mean invasion?
No, it means we picked the wrong place for a picnic. This is an assault course. After that incident, Phyllis and I saw less of each other. But as she got cooler, the war hotted up. And the ministry started clamoring for action.
Here's another memo. It says, since receiving your plan in 1940 for towing Britain into mid-Atlantic, we haven't heard from you. Is it something we said?
That's a pleasant note.
Pleasant? Don't you see they want action? Have we invented anything lately?
Well, you stopped my work on the bazooka. I could always start that again.
No, no, no. It's far too much of a gamble. I only just managed to convince everybody that that direct hit on the Houses of Parliament was enemy action.
But there's always your Molotov cocktail.
Getting them drunk won't help.
Isaac, what about my gas that is tasteless, odorless, colorless, and perishes every bit of rubber it touches?
No, I couldn't get the War Office interested. Of course, at the demonstration, you know, it perished the GOC's galoshes. And he got his feet soaking wet. Oh. You've got to face it, Colin, unless you think of something. I'm for the Far East and you're back to teaching.
I say, Chap.
Well, hello, I thought you'd been demobbed.
Now, look, why don't you combine operations?
How do you mean?
Well, the psychological use of perishing rubber.
By Jove, you've got something there. Remember how depressed the GOC was when his galoshes started letting in water. Now, what's an important use of rubber?
Well, there's water wings and elastic bands.
Braces?
Precisely, braces.
But you can't win the war by taking the snap out of German braces.
Why not?
Which has never worked.
It's worth a try.
Well, I suppose so. All right, I'm game. But well, we've got to send it to the minister first. F6 hasn't produced many ideas that they've used, but he's made plenty of suggestions.
Yes, quite so, but really, your idea of dropping tin foil from aeroplanes, what's its purpose? To confuse the enemy radar?
No, my idea was that if we dropped tons of tin foil on Germany, they'd think we'd got so much milk chocolate over here, we'd know where to put the wrappings and we're dumping it on them. I thought they'd get so depressed they'd surrender.
That's all very well, but where was the tin foil coming from?
Well, sir, I thought we could use the wrappings from milk chocolate. I hadn't thought so.
Yes. You, Brunskill, this round black ball with a fuse poking out, is that what you call a revolutionary bomb?
Well, I've never seen a picture of a revolutionary who didn't have one just like that.
Oh, that's not good enough, gentlemen. I shall disband F6.
No, but Minister, we have a scheme that could see the end of the war.
Yes, sir. You remember Muir's idea for a gas that perishes rubber?
Yes, well.
Well, sir, here's our plan. The scheme, outrageous and far-fetched as it was, it worked. The braces disintegrating gas exceeded beyond our wildest dreams. In 1943, Rommel, crushed and humiliated, shuffled out of Africa. 1944, Italy surrendered and Mussolini went into hiding. Germany's war machine faltered and ground to a stop. And on the 3rd of May, 1945, on Nuremberg Heath...
Excuse me, Major Bunchel. There's some high-ranking German officers out. Sander, want you to surrender.
Send them in. We've been expecting them. Well, Muir, I don't think we could have done it without you.
Thank you, Bunchel. In wartime, even civilians have their uses.
Oh, here we are, Major. Ready and willing to sign the document. You have a speaker?
This must be one of those German
fellows.
Yes, we've beaten you with the help of this man. It was his scheme that brought Germany to her knees.
Every pair of braces in the Third Reich ruined. Even though you are civilian, a dealer should salute you.
Then why don't you?
It is impossible. I need both hands to stop my crowd from falling down. Show him, gentlemen, please. All your glasses.
Talking about down in the mouth. Give us another brown ale. I'll have that down in my mouth in no time.
I thought everything was rosy. Now you're running at his friends again. What's up now, then, eh?
Well, he's their fault, really, you know. He will keep trying to get him interested in all sorts of social activities. Life was so much simpler when they were only interested in one activity. Guess what she went and made him do?
I've got no idea, Mr. Glum. You tell me.
She went and made him join the local amateur dramatic society.
No.
Yes, Ted. And now, if that wasn't calling disaster, well, I don't know what is.
What happened then?
Well, to begin at the commencement, give us another brown fix.
Right.
S started coming round every night in her new role as dramatic coach. And a notice went up on the door of our front parlour what said, "Quiet, rehearsal in progress."
Oh, Ron. You can do it if you try. Everyone has some hidden talent. I just know it's in you and I want to bring it out. Why keep it hidden? I want everyone to see it.
I haven't seen it myself yet.
Dear. Ron, find his potato. Ron, I think they want you to be a success in your first play. Now, come on, again, and say it with meaning this time.
Lord, how enchanting you look tonight.
No, wait a minute, Ron. I know, it might help if you got into the character more. Now, remember, you're Sir Gregory Mainwaring. You're a rich landowner, and you live in this big house called the Gable. And, oh, Ron, do take your cap off.
Oh, all right, Ed.
Now, that's better. Now, you're in this drawing room, and you're entertaining the beautiful Lady Faversham. Righto, off you go.
How enchanting you look tonight, Lady Faversham crosses the window.
Direction. Put down the script. You ought to know your part by now anyway.
But supposing I forget what I'm supposed to say?
Then you must just do what every good actor does. Cover up.
Cover up what, eh?
Well, never mind. Now look. Ron, pay attention.
Yes?
Now look, let's see this. It's the big love scene. Now, get yourself in the mood.
Oh, I am in the mood, dear. Come on, give us a kiss. Come on.
Only acting.
Oh.
Now, listen. This is a very tender moment.
Tender moment.
Yes, and you need to have the right expression. You must try and get a sort of pathetic look on your face. That's it, Ron. That's marvellous.
I haven't done it yet.
Well, that'll do. Now, come on, say your line.
I know this is madness, but I think I am falling in love with you.
And I with you, Sir Gregory. Say embrace. Oh, no, not like that. Oh, no, more Sir Gregory is.
I like this bit.
Oh, no, you're crumpling my script.
Oh. Hello, hello, hello. That's what you call rehearsing, is it? Looks like I caught you in act two.
You interrupted Ron's big scene, Mr. Glum.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sure. I only popped in from the kitchen for a breath of fresh air. Ma Glum's grating some gorgonzola. Well, Ethel, now I'm here. How is Sir Ronald Guinness coming along, then?
There's no need to make fun of him, Mr. Glum. Ron has all the makings of a first-class thespian.
Has he? Funny, I never noticed that all these years. Oh, well, I suppose we're all the better for knowing that, I'm sure.
And what's more, it's the right place to run and the right part. It's gay, witty and sophisticated.
Yeah, so it might be. My word, if Ron's got anything to do with it, it'll turn out a tragedy. Ed, why did you have to get him started on all this acting last?
Oh, lots of reasons. Well, for one thing, it'll give Ron the chance to express himself.
Well, he was doing that all right when I came in just now.
Besides which, it'll help develop his confidence and personality. I'd like to see you stand up and perform in front of a lot of people.
Oh, now, Ed, Dad's done that lots of times. In the pub on the Saturday night.
Of course I have. You'd be proud of me, Ed. After a few drinks, I'm a veritable Laurence Oliver. But was the young woman at Gloucester? It's crazy to say.
That's quite different.
Mm.
This is a serious play. The trouble is, you don't really understand the theatre.
What, me not understand the theatre?
That's what I said. When was the last time you went to the theatre?
It was on my birthday.
That's right, so it was. That's right, Ron's birthday treat, yes. I took him to see Naughty Nudes in the Edgware Road.
Naughty Nudes? Can you call that a real theatrical experience? Well, I'm sure it must have been very moving.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be moving, but... It was, wasn't it, Ron, eh?
Yes. I took my catapult with me.
Oh, dear. Oh, them prune stones. Sure, you should have seen Ron's face with them all up there on the stage in their birthday suits.
Dad, how did they know it was my birthday?
bear that sort of vulgar offering with, oh, the legitimate theatre.
Eh?
I know it's only amateur dramatics, but you never know where it might lead. Look at Hagley Goodhue.
Look at who?
Hagley Goodhue.
Oh, yes.
Well, he started in the local amateur group. He was spotty in Seagulls Over the Rainbow. Now, he's quite famous on television.
Well, I've never heard of him.
But perhaps you're one of those who don't watch the commercials. Can't tell me you wouldn't be proud of Ron if the same thing happened to him.
No. I suppose I would like to see Ron on the telly. After all, any proud father must... Ron.
Yes, sir?
Get down off the telly. There's a good man. I didn't mean it that way, son. All right, Ed, if you're convinced that he can do it and won't make a fool of himself, he has my blessing.
Oh, I'm positive he's star material.
All right, then, when's the big night?
Next Monday.
All right, Ed, book a couple of seats as near the bar as possible. And you and me will be there to share in Ron's ovation.
What a lovely house you have, Lady Faversham.
Yes, it is rather nice, isn't it? Of course, it takes rather a lot of that season.
Give us another fish paste sandwich.
Have you seen there the fish paste? Have you got a funny feeling in the tummy?
Yes, I have. Plus, I've had too many of them sandwiches. I don't know.
Well, I will do so when Sir Gregory returns from hunting.
Oh, good idea. Sir Gregory.
Oh! Here comes Sir Gregory now.
What's happening?
No.
Oh, here comes Sir Gregory now.
Dear, where is he? Where's Ben?
I'm right behind you.
Mummy, what are you doing there?
I thought I'd see it better from here.
Oh, you silly.